Well, we're going to continue to talk about the born again trail, and tonight we're going to talk about a subject that may be kind of, it may hurt a little bit, but it's going to be all right, I promise you. If you have your Bibles, go over to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to read some very familiar verses of Scripture, and then we're going to move around here a little bit. Chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. What is it therefore? Therefore, because we have a new covenant. We don't have a new covenant. We've been moved out of a covenant, and we're now into sonship. Now, here's a key to mortification. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Keep that in mind. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us. Man, we could sit there and camp out all night long. That the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us. You have to understand what righteousness is. You are in right standing with God. That righteousness is so complete, there is nothing you could ever do beyond denying that righteousness to make your Father quit or stop, to cause you not to have that righteousness. Who walk not after the flesh. Here's another key to mortification. Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I think I told you last week how powerful that your flesh, how powerful your new nature is. And this whole series of verses here is comparing the flesh against your new nature. It's comparing your old nature, the nature that you got from Adam, is comparing that to the nature that you got from Christ. And I think we had fun last week talking about big S or little s, something along those lines. Verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Mm-hmm. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is peace. Because the carnal mind is an enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So then they that are in the flesh... Now, what does in the flesh mean? He's not talking about you having a bad hair day. He's not talking about everything going wrong in your life on that day. He's talking about a person that is not born again. But you having life in your new nature is righteousness. Now, the enemy would want to talk you out of that every day. He doesn't want you to understand how righteous you truly are. He wants you to question it. Well, maybe God didn't really mean you were that righteous. Well, maybe your righteousness isn't complete. Maybe it's not fully matured yet. You are as righteous now as you ever will be. Your problem now is learning how to walk in accordance with that righteousness. That's what you're struggling with. But if, verse 11, but if the Spirit of him that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you, then he that raised Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Shall quicken your mortal bodies. Mm-hmm. Now, what does that mean? Shall quicken your mortal body. That you have now received life in your new nature. And that life that's in your new nature now, it is called the Zoe life. And that life is able to penetrate your mortal body. Mm-hmm. And therefore, sin has no dominion over you. He's also quickened your mortal body by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the what? To the flesh. Mm-hmm. To live after the flesh. Here's another mortification verses. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. Mm-hmm. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the flesh, you shall live. Now, I want to make sure it's before you leave here tonight that it is crystal clear how to mortify the deeds of the body. And it's not as difficult as you have made it. It's not as difficult as it has been preached. So I want you to go over now to I think it's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. very familiar passage of scripture. For by grace are you saved through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. You had nothing to do with it. Your salvation isn't dependent upon anything that you did or did not do. The only thing you did was you agreed that you wanted to be saved. That's all you did. But there was nothing you did that made this salvation come to you. It was something that God decided to do on his very own. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now get that. By grace you are saved through faith. Faith does something. And grace does something. Now, go over to Romans chapter 10, and let's look at this salvation real quick here to make certain we understand it and we know what it is. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. This is the classical salvation scripture. When you get born again, you're saying something like this. But let me say this to you. The words are not that important. It's the intent of the heart. It is the belief. That's what's important. Now, why am I saying this? Because we're going someplace. We're going to teach you how to mortify the deeds in your body. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach, verse 9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, there's confession has to be made first, a confession of faith. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe, so there's confession and now there's belief in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, keep that scripture in mind and go back to Galatians 2:8 and let's put those two verses together. For by grace are you saved through faith. So where is the faith here? The faith is if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart, that is the faith for you to believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. If you believe that, then you can be born again. But you have to believe that. In other words, it's just not a one-time thing. It's something that you continuously do for the rest of your life. Why? Salvation is eternal. It's not a one-time event. It is a long-lasting thing that goes on and on and on and on and on. Okay? That's why your relatives are able to get born again. Why? Because it's not a one-time thing. Now, get this. The first thing you had to do is to do what? Confess with your mouth. But now there was something really you had that precluded that step. And what was that step? You had to believe in your heart. Those two things activates the grace of God and brings it to pass. Okay? Confession and belief, faith and belief brings what? Allows the grace of God to function in your life. Happens to anything you do. Anything that you can confess and you can believe. But now here's what most people's problem is. You can confess it. You'll believe it for one moment. But then you'll begin to waver after a while. Now why do you begin to waver after a while? Exactly. Your flesh starts saying, do you really think you're going to get it? Do you really think you're going to get it? Those of us that lay hands on the sick and see them recover, it's easy for us to lay hands on the sick on somebody else. But when it comes to us, oh, man, it's a whole different thing. You see, I mean, it's easy for me to lay hands on somebody that's sick. But when I'm going through something, oh, man, I mean, I have to buckle down, man. I have to really get myself together here. Why? Because doubt comes in. And that my belief has to be something that is ongoing, especially in that area. But now what happens? Because I have this thing called a flesh. Now, it doesn't mean I'm not born again. When we say flesh now, we're talking about the works in your body or in your flesh that tend to act up from time to time. How many of you know that you've had flashbacks on your previous life? And then you question yourself, am I really saved? I mean, I've had some thoughts in church, and I thought, man, how could I think that in church? But you know what I finally realized? It wasn't me at all. That was the old man trying to resurrect. That was the enemy trying to resurrect the old man. See, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. How do I know that? The Bible tells me so. Didn't you just sing the song? Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus. How did you know Jesus loved you? Because the Bible tells you so. Well, the bottom line is, how do I know that old things have passed away and behold, all things have become new? The Bible tells me that. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, I think it's 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. That means that my old man, and I get this now, buckle your seatbelt, because here you go. Your past failures are done. Quit thinking about them. Quit pondering over them. They're done. God does not bring them up. God does not go back and go, you remember what you said on one day, on such and such a day? He doesn't do that. Does he say, do you remember what you, how you failed me? You remember you told me that you couldn't do so-and-so, so-and-so? Or remember you shook your fist at me and said, God, why did you let that happen to me? Or you took your Bible and threw it against the wall and got mad at me? God does not bring those things up to you, does he? No, he doesn't. Why? Because old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. So once you make this confession of faith, you have to believe that that stuff is dead. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Your flesh will bring it back up to you. You're not righteous. You're not holy. How do you know you're born again? I've had people say, Pastor Craig, I've been praying in tongues now for 3 or 4 years. How do I know I'm praying in a heavenly language? Because the Bible tells you that it is. Well, how do I know my tongues are right? Because the Bible says he that speaks an unknown tongue speaks not unto God, not unto man, but unto God. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. It's by faith. You make that confession of faith. Don't worry about your prayer tongue, your prayer language. Well, Pastor, every time I pray it's different. Well, welcome to the club. Nothing wrong with that. It's still a language of faith. Amen? So what I'm trying to get across to you is that you get born again by faith. Anything else you need to get from God, how do you get from God? By faith, all right? So stick with me here. Now let's go over to, let me see where I want to go next. Galatians 5:16. We're talking about mortification. The thing is, the church has got to be mortified. We got to be purged of the old man. The uncles, all y'all, me included. What these young people see you do, especially family members, that's what they'll do. They see you with the 16-ounce beer in your hand. Guess what? One day, they're going to want a 16-ounce beer in their hand. I know this is a hard message, but guess what, church? This is how the devil, he just pulls the wool over our eyes, sneak this stuff into our families, and we think, well, how did all that happen? And then you take the easy road out. Well, I didn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yes, you did. Be not conformed to the world. You were conformed by the world in which you live in. Verse 16, Ephesians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Walk after your new nature, and ye will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Your flesh, your body still has things in it that it wants to do. And in Romans chapter 18, we're focusing on how to mortify these things so that you can live. So you can live a Christian life, so you can live a holy life, so you can live a righteous life, so you can live a victorious life. That's what we're talking about here. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another. so that you cannot do the thing that you would. In other words, please God. But if you are led, not drugged, not shackled, not forced, if you are led of the Spirit, big S or little s? Little s, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. In other words, these are a category of things that we do in the world, and we drag these things over into the church. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition. These are just categories. Heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness. This is a pretty extensive list, is it not? Revelings and such like, of which I tell you before, and I've also told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Well, Brother Craig, am I going to heaven? Well, you might make it there, but you won't inherit the kingdom of God. And you're okay with that. You go, okay, that's fine. Now, most of you are saying, well, where is he going with this? The kingdom of God is not heaven. The kingdom of God is the kingdom that God has on the earth. A few moments ago, I said that we are the ecclesia. We are the ruling, reigning, governing body here in the earth. We operate out of the kingdom of God. That's where we operate. We have authority there. Well, if you don't inherit the kingdom of God, you're wondering why the devil's just stealing, killing, and destroying everything you got. You wonder, well, how come I almost get there? I'm almost at success, and then it all just falls apart. Because you're not operating in the kingdom of God. It's not, ladies and gentlemen, God did not send Jesus to the earth just to get you born again and punch your ticket to go to heaven. That's not why he came. He came to restore the image that he gave Adam back to you. And to operate in the kingdom of God, expand that kingdom, rule and reign in that kingdom, and let the earth go, them are some bad mama jammas over there. Them boys operate in power. Glory. Hurricanes don't come, now they dwelling. Amen. Sickness and disease don't come, now they dwelling. They get sick and they get healed. I don't know why we don't get healed. Why? What do they have that we don't have? That's what the church should have. That's what the world should be asking the church. And I'm telling you something. In these last days, that's what the world's going to say about the church. Amen. They're going to look you up. You're going to wake up one morning, and you're going to have a line of people out your door. Amen. You know why? Because they're going to be knocking on your door going, I got a sick baby here. And I heard you can lay hands on the sick and they'll get delivered. They'll get healed. Get up and get out here and lay your hands on my child. But you know what you'll say? God, I don't know why you put this burden on me. I'm so tired of these sick people. God, I'm wore out. I never get no sleep. I don't get any rest. That'll be the body of Christ. You watch. You watch. We'll be walking that kind of power. The world will come to us and we'll go, we're too busy. Why? Because we're operating in the kingdom of God. We've inherited the kingdom of God. That's what that kingdom is all about. We rule and reign there. We've been given everything God has. Listen, that kingdom is very close to living in heaven. Very close to living in heaven. Now, don't compare what you're living, going through right now as the kingdom of God. Don't compare your circumstances and say, well, that's the way it is. No. Mm-mm. God heals, God sets free, and God delivers. That's the kingdom of God. Now, you might wonder, well, why don't we have this power? Why doesn't it flow in us all the time? Because we have to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And it's not that difficult. You just got to know how. Mm-hmm. Now remember, how did you get born again? You confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Mm-hmm. You said something and you believe something. Let me say this to you. Well, let me go on and read this right here. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Now let me ask you a question. If you live in the kingdom, that was dominated by love, do you think sickness and disease would have a smither of a chance to live there?
No.
But the fruit of the Spirit is what?
Love.
Love. You ever heard Christians say, brother, don't pray for patience. God may send you tests and trials. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, God don't send you tests and trials. But listen, if you have love and you're walking in the God kind of love, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, mm-hmm. that love is patient. Mm-hmm. When you're walking in love, you'll have patience. Mm-hmm. If you don't have patience, you're probably not walking in the God kind of love. Don't shout me down now. Mm-hmm. I'm preaching real good now. I know I am. Yeah. I can feel God going, come on with it, son. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, against which there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified. Crucified. Was Jesus crucified on the cross? Well, what Jesus is telling you here, just like as sure as his body was crucified on that cross, if you're born again, you've crucified your flesh. And the affections... with the affections and lusts. Now, he's not talking about sexual stuff either. He's talking about the pride of life. He's talking about the love of money. Two things that's destroying the church right now. Do you know what they are? What are they? Number one, the love of money. Number two, sickness and disease. And those are things that Jesus took care of on the cross. If you look at every temptation, well, go back up here and look at this. No, go back to Galatians 5, go up 19. Isn't this interesting? Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. What's the first two? Sexual sin. I'm talking about the first two. Adultery and fornication. He's talking to church people. Come on now. You can help me preach next week. Isn't it interesting, though? The first two things that are named there, adultery and fornication in the church. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, adultery, fornication, uncleanness. Do you think Paul would have wrote these things if they didn't have any problem with these things? You think he's writing about the world here? I was wondering, no, he's talking about the world there. Come on. All these things here were in the church. All these things here are in the church even now. Verse 24. And they that are Christ have crucified. The word have means what? Present tense, past tense, future tense. Huh? So somewhere you have already crucified the flesh. Somewhere he's already told you how to crucify the flesh. You know where it is? It's in Romans. The body of sin has been destroyed. The day you got born again, you crucified your flesh. Now the thing is this. Your flesh drives by and it says, give me a life rope. Give me a chance to live again. And you know what you say? Oh, yes, she does look good, don't she? Oh, I could use the extra money. Oh, yeah, I'm going through so much stress. I don't mind having a little bit of them drugs. I need something to kind of knock off the edge. I'm going to go by the old joint here and get me just a shot of liquor so I can knock off the edge a little bit. Just drives by. Now, I don't know what your drive-by thing is, but you got some drive-bys. Something's driving by you. Otherwise, he wouldn't have wrote this. So we didn't know how to get rid of this stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. Here is the key, as far as I'm concerned, that I'll be preaching this until I close, or Dominion Transition to close down. Communion and relationship. Amen. You're going to have to get it in your vocabulary. You're going to have to get it in your way of thinking. You're going to have to start doing it.
Amen.
You're going to have to start communicating and relating to the one that will keep you and keep you purged from all this stuff. Verse 25. If we live in the where? If we live in the Spirit, big S or little S. If we live in the Spirit, we also do what? Walk in the Spirit. Now we need to find out how we do that. How am I supposed to do that? Is it automatic? Well, it can't be automatic if I'm committing adultery and fornication, uncleanliness, or lasciviousness, and all these things. I must not be. Something's wrong. If I'm having depression and congestive heart failure, if I'm having atrial fibrillation, there's something wrong. God didn't put that stuff on me. I think I got your attention. That's the key. All right, let's wrap this up. Huh? Now, go over to Colossians chapter 3. Now, when we go over to Colossians chapter 3, here's what I want you to keep in mind. Communion and relationship. I'm going to teach you how to commune and relate with the Father. What did I say? I'm going to Colossians chapter 3. Now, this has been in your Bible all this time. And these are not the only chapters and verses that you can refer to. Verse 1. If ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the Father. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. So now how do I seek those things that are above? Well, here's how I do it. Father, I give you praise that I have been risen with Christ. There was a time in my life when I was baptized. And I was brought into that water, and I was raised. I was lowered into that water as being put to death, and I was brought out of that water as raised to a new life. And Father, now that I have risen with Christ, I say in my heart that I seek things that are above, that are above. What things are above? What things are above? Go back over to Galatians chapter 5. That's it. Those things are above. Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, those things are above. Mm-hmm. It sure ain't going to be the other stuff, is it? Adultery, fornication. Now, we naturally walk after those things, don't we? Don't shout me down. We naturally go after those things. But if ye be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of the Father. Now, watch verse 2. Set your affections. You have a choice. So how do I set my affections on things above and on things of the earth? Father, I thank you. I praise you. I glorify you. I magnify you. That I'm seeking things that are above and not things on the earth. I'm seeking for joy and peace and long-suffering and goodness. I'm seeking after the things. Now listen, you got to say these things way before you get into the fight.
Amen.
You got to say these things when you're alone. You got to say these things when you're by yourself in your car. You got to say these things when nobody's around. You got to start saying these things to you. How many of you work for a living? I guarantee you there's somebody on your job either you're mad at, will be mad at, or was mad at. Can I get a witness? Everybody said amen. So you're sitting there and you're going, now I got to love these people. And you're going, but I just can't stand them. Well, now let me ask you a question. When you can't stand them, are you operating out of the Spirit or out of your flesh? I wonder how that happens. I wonder how I knew that. So you got these enemies at work. They just don't. They hate you because you call yourself a Christian. They can't stand you. And yet, still, you got to work with these people. But you know what you'll do to me? You'll call me and say, Pastor, pray for me. Pray that I get me a new job. Get me out of this heathen or around these heathens. They're just so terrible. Let me tell you something, folks. I'm not praying that prayer with you. And my whole point is, I hope God tells you, I hope God visits you at nighttime and tell you he ain't going to take you out of that place either. You know why? You're probably the only light that those people will ever have. And you're asking us to pray that you get removed? No. No, what I'm praying is you no longer fulfill the deeds of the flesh. That if you have been risen with Christ, your flesh has been what? Crucified.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
So here's what you ought to say before you get to your co-workers the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Father, I give you praise. The love of God has been shed abroad my heart by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And Father, I know that you died for me, and Father, Jesus died for them. And Father, they're just blind right now. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand why they're coming against me. But Father, show me, teach me, mold me, fashion me how to love them out of my heart. Now you start exercising your faith. Remember what I said earlier? I brought the verse, Romans chapter 10. If thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, the thing is this, go back over to the other verse I've talked about by grace are you saved through faith.
Mm-hmm.
Those verses work for your temper as well.
Amen.
Those verses work for the love of God just as well. Amen. Those verses work for anything else, any other deed of the flesh you need to mortify.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is begin to say it before you get to the fight. Now, when you get to the fight, you can't go, now, what did that pastor tell me to do? It's too late now. You got to practice these things while you are by yourself in the privacy of your own home or in your car. Or if you got to go out on your break, go out there and then let them say, man, there's something wrong with Pastor Craig because he's always talking to himself. You better be glad I'm talking to myself. I'm asking God to show me how to love you.
Amen.
And I work on a staff of what they call Christian people.
Amen.
I'm telling you. You think your job, and this is on the tape. I don't mind them listening to it either. Don't mind them listening to it. That is my employers. Listen, they know there's problems in the church, period.
Amen.
Just because you claim to be a Christian, there's some work that you have to employ. There's things that you're going to have to do to be able to put your flesh to death. Let's go on with Colossians. Set your affections on things above. So you're going to have to, it's giving you a decision to make here. You have to decide to do that. For we are dead. Do you have a question?
I was going to add to what you just said. About
go ahead.
Keep confessing the word. And 1 Corinthians 16, 13, and 14, he says, be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like a man. Be as strong and do everything in love. So it says like, being in the faith is not just having faith. It's staying all the time confessing the word that you believe.
There's something that you're always doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because the enemy is always trying to knock you off center.
That's right.
Okay? Verse 3. If you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then ye shall also appear with him in glory. Now, here we go again. Now, here's another instruction. Mortify. Put to death. Well, he's telling you to do that. How do you do that? By faith. The other day, my wife was out of town this past weekend. And so I was home alone. Excuse the pun. And so I had to go to an encounter on Friday night. I got home about 11 o'clock, 11:30. Got a little bit of sleep, got back up at 5:30, and I'm going through the prison. So I'm going to get out of the prison, and I'm going to go home and get me a nap. But one of the guys forgot his keys in my truck, so I had to drive back out to 45 in all the traffic. I was headed to church, had to drive back out to 45, and it was already bad traffic out there as it was. So I got back, so I didn't get a rest. Well, there was a lady that's going through a divorce, and the father said, now, I want you to talk to her. And I'm going, okay. And I mean, she's everything but have her bags packed up and ready to go. So what I'm saying is, well, you're a born again child of God, right? Yeah. Well, then, do you really think God's going to honor your divorce? Well, but you don't understand. I said, so it's all about you, not about him. Well, I'm trying to do the best I can, but I just can't take any more of it. So we sat there and talked for several minutes, and it just wore me down. I went home that night, and I'm going, well, I need to go home and get me some rest. So I got home, got in bed, kind of late, and got back up at 5 o'clock in the morning. And I mean, I felt like I had been just run over by a truck. And I'm going, what is wrong with me? So I go to work, and I'm going through the motions, and I'm like, y'all just leave me alone. I really don't want to be here. Don't want to talk to anybody. I'll say good morning best I can, but leave me alone. Mm-hmm. And then I knew something's not right. So, man, I finally got home. I got something to eat, and I figured, well, maybe that'll make me feel better. And it didn't. So I'm laying down there on the bed, and I'm going, I get it. Mm-hmm. How many of you have ever had depression? I promise you, for the first time in my life, I experienced depression. That's what it was. I know it's what it was. Now, I'm not trying to offend you if you are fighting depression. I'm just telling you what I went through. I'm laying on that bed and I realize, well, I'll just be. Now, you know what I would do? I'd jump up and go, in the name of Jesus, you get out of me. Spirit of God said, no. You feed into his ploy. You feed into what he wants you to do when you start getting excited like that. He says, listen, all power has been given unto you. He says, what I want you to do is to mortify this stuff. You know what I did? Here's what I said. Father, because you love me.
Amen.
Just because you love me. And that thing went.
Amen.
It left. Well, I didn't stop. I just kept on praising him.
Amen.
Father, because you love me, I give you praise. I thank you that depression has no dominion over me. I give you praise. I'm free of depression. I praise you. Depression will never come back. I mean, instantly, I'm like, man. I didn't realize I was under that all day long. It may have been that night. But that's what it means to mortify the deeds of the flesh. You've got to begin to commune with God. In these last days, ladies and gentlemen, I am not going to teach you as I was taught in the church world that you got to get out a whole list of scriptures and begin to confess those scriptures. Do you know what happens when you confess those scriptures? You're talking at God. You're not talking to God.
Amen.
Quit talking at your Heavenly Father and talk to him.
Amen.
Now, you may think, but Pastor, you're just nitpicking. No, 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 no. Here is the difference. One is a clinical type confession, and one is a relationship.
Amen.
Let me ask you a question. If this is my friend, do you think when I get around him, he wants me to talk at him or about him or to him? Because if I talk at him or about him, we're not friends. And he don't appreciate that. Why? He says, you never acknowledge me. You never let me know that I'm even your equal. Or I'm even in your fear of friendship. You just never do that. And I don't feel good about that.
Right.
Well, how do you think the Holy Ghost feels? How do you think the Father feels when you never spend your time with him, but you spend your time going, God, give me $1 million. God, give me a good family. God, straighten out my husband. God, fix my folks at work. God, get it done. You really think God's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. God's going, what is wrong with these people? Did you get born again that way? How did you get born again? You said, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. And I thank you for you laying down your life for me. So I give you praise. I declare that I believe what you did, and I confess with my mouth, and you're born again. If it works that way, why would it not work any other way? And why do we get the devil and we pull out our big sword and go, I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to slice you in half, devil. The devil's going, bring it on, bring it on, bring it on. All you're doing is working and works. You're just working. And that's the thing I want to say here. When you're operating that way, you are now doing works. You're not operating in grace. For by grace are you saved. Amen. For by grace do you mortify the deeds of the body. For by grace are you free. You're not free because you can command the devil to do whatever. You are free because of the grace of God. Mm-hmm. And to operate in the grace of God, you begin to talk to your Heavenly Father and not at your Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. Now, I challenge you. Start talking to your Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. In other words, don't say, a while ago we prayed about your finances. Well, don't not go home now and go, God, I need 700 and or whatever the figure is to get the tossing back. Mm-hmm. Say, Father, I know you love me. Yeah. You are my Heavenly Father. Jesus said he became poor that I, through his poverty, might be made rich. Mm-hmm. So, Father, I give you praise. You've made me rich. I give you praise. Your word declares that you will supply my every need according to your riches and glory, not because you have to, but because you're my Father and because you want to. Because I'm your son, you want to do it for me. You start talking to God that way, and you'll see the windows of heaven fly open for you.
Amen.
You'll start seeing things change on your behalf. And this is what the body of Christ needs to get free. But the body of Christ is running around trying to command devils and demons. And don't get me wrong, there's a place to cast out devils. There's a place to command sickness and disease to come out.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's a place where you want to use grace to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Because
mm-hmm.
why? They're going to want to come back. They're going to want to come back. And the way they come back is if they can get you in the flesh and get you into works.
Mm-hmm.
But if you'll stay in grace, they're no match for the grace of God. No match at all.
Mm-hmm.
Are you listening to me?
Yes, sir.
Now let's go on down here in Colossians and finish this up. Mortify, therefore, the deeds, the members which are upon the earth, fornication. Isn't there something? The sexual sin is always at the top of the list. Did you notice that? It's always at the top of the list. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh, now watch this, on the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked in some time when ye lived in them. Now here's another instruction. Now put off all these. Now, how do you take something off? Well, let me ask you a question. In Ephesians chapter 6, I believe it's right, it says put on the whole armor of God, right? So how do you put that armor on? Let me tell you the classical example that I learned. God, I'm finna put on your armor. I'll put on the breastplate of righteousness. I hat myself with the helmet of salvation. I gird myself with truth. I tie up the shoes of peace. That's not how you put on the armor of God. It is not a physical piece of armor. It is a spiritual piece of armor. So how do you put on spiritual armor? Or anything spiritual, how do you put it on and take it off? Your communion and relationship with your Heavenly Father. This is how you do it. It's how you do it. Now, one day when I teach on that armor of God, I'll show you that that armor is nothing more than just armor to protect your mind, to protect your thinking. That's really what that armor is for. Okay? It's what it's for. But getting back to my message today, The way you put off these things is the same way you put on anything else, is by faith.
Amen.
Father, I thank you that I just had a bout of anger just now, and I ask you to forgive me.
Amen.
And Father, I declare, because I am your son, that I don't have to allow anger to have control or dominion over my life.
Amen.
And I renounce anger. I'm not going to have anger. God, I give you praise that anger has no dominion or power over me. Anger has been destroyed as far as Jesus is concerned. Anger has no power over me. And I am not going to give it any more power in my life. I declare and decree, I walk in love. I walk in joy. I walk in peace. I walk in long sufferings. And next time when that anger starts coming around, just say, no, in Jesus' name, Father, because you love me, I'm not going to give in to this anger because you love me. Because you set me free, I give you praise. But the thing is, you got to say those things when you're in your apartment, when you're in your home, when you're in your car. Let me get personal. When you're on the throne, that's when you say those things. And I'm serious. What else you got to do sitting there? You may as well use your mouth and do something constructive. Well, I know it's kind of funny, but you get my point. My point is to use these special moments and let them mark, let them count for something.
Amen.
Listen, we're going to have a conference on love. You know what we're going to have a conference on love? Because I want to make sure there ain't no division and strife in this room. Ever. And the thing is that I know when it happens, just start preaching on love. You get rid of it. It's got to go. It's got to go. Now, the thing is this. You may think, well, I just won't come. Well, you ain't got to come, but when you come here next week, the following week, that spirit will be lingering around here, and it'll convict you sitting wherever you're sitting. Why? Because we're putting it on.
Amen.
We're putting it on. Amen. When we pray, that's how we're praying. Okay? But again, I want you to get used to putting these things off. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Now, get this, verse 9. Lie not one to another. You mean the church lies one to another?
Yes, they do.
Huh?
Yes, they do.
The church lies one to another?
Yes,
no, never.
Let me put it like this. Those of you that are hearing this message, you shouldn't anymore.
Amen.
And let me say this. There ain't no little white lies, brown lies. They're all lies. They're all lies. There are no innocent lies. They're lies. Verse 10. And put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You are created in the image of God. You are. There's a verse in Philippians, I think it's chapter 2. It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. That thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, but humbled himself. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what he means by renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created you. You're renewed in the image of love. You ought to be striving every day to walk in the God kind of love. You ought to be putting on love every morning. You ought to be talking about love at nighttime. You ought to be talking to yourself, driving home at night. Father, I thank you that love is in my heart. I thank you it was shed abroad my heart by the Holy Ghost. That love is in there. And Father, tonight I thank you that my love is going to start to grow and it's going to start to sprout. It's going to get bigger inside of me and bigger inside of me. And I'm not going to be injured by people's remarks. I'm not going to be injured by their comments. I'm not going to be injured anymore. Why? Because love conquers all. It will not fail.
That's right. Amen.
Somebody walks up to you and says, you know what? I don't like you. I think you ugly. You ought to go, but I just love you. I love you. Why? It's the love of God in my heart.
Amen.
That's part of the new man. I'm putting that guy on.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new man. How do I put him on? I spend time in communion, and I spend time in fellowship. Now, as I close, I want to give you one more technique of communion. I want you to close your eyes. Now, I'm going to say some things that may sound kind of harsh, but I want you to imagine these things. I want you to imagine Jesus at the scourging post. That's where he was tied up to the post, and he was beaten. Imagine that scene. He is not resisting. In fact, he is standing there on all fours patiently. And the man that's beating him is just beating him senseless with that cat of nine tails. He's striking him over and over again. Sometimes it's so hard that you think Jesus' breath has just been taken out of him. But he's still there. He's not moaning. He's not groaning. He's not crying. He's not complaining. He's taking every blow. The scene is so bloody, you've never seen a scene like this. There's blood everywhere. That man that's whipping him is splattered with blood. The people that are surrounding that place, they're splattered with blood. But yet, he doesn't defend himself at all. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that is communion. You can open your eyes now. Every time you pick that wafer up, every time you pick up that cup of juice, that image should go through your mind. Why? You're communing with him. You're understanding what it took him to get sickness and disease off of your life, to give you a new nature, to be able to allow sin not to have dominion over you. He went through all of that. How many of you saw the Passion of Christ? It doesn't even come close. There's no comparison. Many of you seen scenes of him hanging on a cross, or if you've seen pictures, those pictures don't even come close. I've had flashes of that scene in my heart from time to time. And I would think that I'm like, man, goodness. But I'm communing with him. And when I begin to take communion, pick up that wafer and that grape juice, I think about those things. And sometimes I may think about those things for 5 or 10 minutes. What am I doing? I am communing with him. I'm communicating with him. What did he say? Do this often in remembrance of me. What he's trying to do, he's giving you a picture or an image to say, this is how much it cost me to redeem you. What you have didn't come by easily. It cost him something. The Bible says that his visage was marred worse than any other man ever. His own mama didn't recognize her son. That's how badly beaten he was. And he hung on that cross. They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet. But he lost the majority of his blood at that scourging post. And then when he got done with that, they made him to carry his own cross to Golgotha. Goodness. And he never complained. He never murmured. Why? He never opened up his mouth so that now you can open up your mouth and say, Father, I thank you that you love me. Father, I thank you that you've put some things inside of me, and I declare and decree those things are going to start manifesting in my life. Father, I thank you that I'm putting off the old man. I'm putting off anger. I'm putting off division. I'm putting off strife. And when strife knocks on your door, you ought to say, strife, get! Do you know why most people just get overwhelmed by their circumstances? Because they haven't developed themselves enough to get past them. Here's how you ought to live your life. You should not live your life pursuing life, and when life brings you a problem, you use the gospel to defend yourself. That is not the way to live. Here's how a born-again child of God should live. You ought to pursue the gospel, and when life throws something at you, now get this, the gospel will defend you. That's how we should live. But we're living the other way around. Many of us are going, I got something I'm trying to get past, Pastor. I get that. But that shouldn't be all the time. We ought to start getting past this stuff. And we ought to spend our time pursuing our relationship with him through communion and fellowship to the degree that every time a problem comes up, we go, oh, it's you again. Now, you know, last time we went through this, I whipped your head real good. So you come back around, huh? Jesus, here we go. And you just sit there in peace, in joy, and let the gospel defend you, not yourself. When you try to defend yourself, you make yourself seem guilty. You don't have, there is therefore now no condemnation. You've got no business sensing guilt. The police officer pulls you over. What do you normally feel? What did I do wrong? Well, first of all, I'm preaching to myself now. You ought to have been pursuing the gospel, and you wouldn't have been going 75 and a 55. Well, I'm just telling the truth. Pursue the gospel now. Pursue your fellowship with him now, and the gospel will protect you. Now remember, I didn't say that you're never going to have a test or a trial. Mm-hmm. Oh, you're going to have them, but the gospel is ever ready to protect you.
Amen.
Ever ready to protect you. Why? Jesus will fight your battles for you.
Amen.
And I don't say that in a kind of a uncaring way. Let's say you've got coworkers and they just all over you about your faith. You go over there that Thursday night Bible study. You must think you all that in the bag of Cheetos. And that gets to get under your skin. It shouldn't. It shouldn't bother you at all. You ought to be going, Father, I thank you that one day I was like that. But I thank you now I'm grown up. I'm maturing in my faith. And I know I'm at the truth. I'm seeking you with all of my heart, with all of my soul. There's nothing wrong about me. Now, Father, I pray that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. Father, I pray that you would show them the hope of your calling. God, I know they don't mean that. God, they're going through something. So, Father, I give you praise that whatever they're going through, you're going to show them a way out of it. And if you can use me, Father, let me be there to help them as well. But, Father, as far as I'm concerned, I am searching you. I'm communing with you, and I'm not going to allow this thing to take me down.
Amen.
You start talking to your problems like that, and the righteousness of God will come and defend you every single time.
Praise God.
Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Is there anybody in here that needs a touch from God tonight? Anybody going?